but I was able to be with him yesterday for a little bit, and he's getting up and down and moving around really well. All of the pain in his hands and arms that he's been experiencing for several months, totally alleviated, so we are super grateful to God that he is choosing to move in that way through this surgery for Jason. I just want to commend us just for another brief moment of prayer, just to focus once more on how good God is. We talked about it last week. We have this saying here at Five Stones that God is good and all the time. And so this good God is very present and active in our midst. And let's just pray, just gather in prayer for just a few moments more for these requests that are on the screen here and anything else that God is stirring your heart to be in prayer for. Let's just take a few moments together. Father, you are the same today as you were yesterday. And yesterday, you were pretty good. We may not have always seen it right up front or when we're in the midst of things. But we can look back. I can look back. Even over the really worst of times, and see where you were. See how your goodness played a role in what happened in those moments. So God, we take this time to express our trust in you. We take these moments to express our confidence that you are who you say you are. You are who you've been. So we give you praise for successful surgeries. We pray still yet that the power of your Spirit would continue to be active in Jason Hill's body and in the bodies of others who have undergone procedures recently. God, that you would continue to knit and mend cells and tendons and muscles and bone, whatever it is that's been affected. You, the one who created us, God, we pray that you would continue in your business of recreating us, undoing what brokenness and sin have done in our bodies. God, we pray for safety, for travels, for people traveling for work and for family and for school, but also for mission, like Kyle Boyd, who will be coming home soon. We pray, God, that all those flights and changes in the airports in other countries, God, would go smoothly. God, we ask these things because they're important to us and because, again, we are confident in who you are because of who you've been. Lord, in all the things in between, in all the ways that we need you to be you, God, we ask for those things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we started on the first Sunday last week reminding ourselves of how important it is to have the perspective that God is a good God and that God is present. So we talked about this Ebenezer, this stone of help, and we talked about how important it is as a discipline to maintain that perspective, that idea of the fact that God is good and he's present. And I introduced something else to you last week that is now here on this table, and this is our Five Stones Book of Testimony, and really that's a fancy word of saying, write down what God's done. You know, if you come up and drop a stone in, just put the date and write a sentence or two about why you put the stone in, why you're participating in this way, in this discipline of not only reminding yourself of how good God is, but also reminding the rest of us who need it regularly to be reminded of how good God is. So just write it down. And the whole idea behind that then is we have a collection, we have a story of stories. As Five Stones Community Church, we have a story of stories of God's goodness that we can peel open from time to time when we need it and remind ourselves of how amazing our good Father is. So anytime during our gatherings, feel free to come up and drop a stone in and take some time to write in the Book of Testimony, although I will ask you not to do it while I'm up here talking because it'll freak me out and totally wreck the train of thought that I might actually be on in that moment. So any other time, though, during prayer or worship, before service, after service, feel free to come up for that. We're going to continue this week on our journey of Sundays, our time together. I think I quoted something last week that we have like 8,706 hours in a year that we can be around this idea of how good God is, that we can be around this idea of the fact that we live in his kingdom and he is our king. And our Sunday morning experiences take up about 78 of those hours. So we have really precious time to continue to deepen our understanding, to continue to kind of retrain our focus and our perspective on who we are and what this life is like in the kingdom of God. So we're going to do that today, and over the next few Sundays, we're going to kind of deepen our understanding of God. We're going to do that primarily by focusing on his word and how to understand it. So that's what we're going to jump into today and over the next couple of weeks. For those of you that don't know, we are a part of a denominational family called the Brethren Church. Someday I will have the space to tell you all the really amazing history of this tribe that we're a part of. There's a lot of unique pressures and circumstances that led to the beginning of this denominational family, just like all of the other denominational families that we might encounter out there. And as a result of these pressures, we had unique responses as a group of people, and those things make us distinct. They make us unique, and that doesn't mean that we're better than anyone else. It just means we're us, and the world needs us to be us, just like it needs every other denominational family to be themselves in the best way that they can. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about how the Brethren Church understands God's word, and we need to take some time to unpack it because this is part of our uniqueness, part of what makes us distinct. So when we talk about God's word, what do you all think of? The Bible. It's a pretty good idea. The Bible. This book that is in the pews, sometimes we have them on our phones or on our tablets. The Bible is commonly what we refer to as the word of God. The Brethren, however, have a little bit different understanding about the word of God. And I'm going to say one more thing to preface how important our understanding is to us, to kind of set it in the context of maybe all of your other interactions around the Bible and around understanding the word of God. The Brethren, as a faith family, we like many others, would say that we're a people of the word. The word of God for us is our rule of life. It's our rule of understanding. It's the way that we kind of understand who God is and who we are and what the world is supposed to be like. It's very important to us. Its interpretation, then, is super important to us because it is our rule for life and faith. The Brethren, unlike other faith families, though, don't have we don't have like an official church arm or any kind of traditions or creeds, for example, that tell us how we're supposed to interpret God's word. We don't have anyone that tells us how we're supposed to understand what it is that we're reading. So that makes then our ability to understand and interpret together even more important. For the Brethren, we would say that our capacity to take whatever we think our understanding is and then try to live it out in our life is the most critical, because it's in our application that we can kind of test and prove what it is that we think we understand to see what kind of fruit it bears. So we would never separate or divorce application or living it out from our understanding or our interpretation. One more step further than to the uniqueness of the Brethren, we believe that that interpretation and the application are best done, almost can only be done, in a community of fellow believers. It's one of the most beautiful things that has captivated me about being a part of this tribe. I didn't grow up in it, but when I encountered this idea that you all see and know Jesus differently than I do based on your circumstances, the way you've encountered him through, are you a man, a woman? Are you older? Are you younger? Have you done this? Have you done that? Your profession, your experiences, all of that leads you to a place of understanding Jesus differently than me because I have different experiences than you. So this beautiful idea that we understand the Word of God best when we get together and share what it is that we think we understand. It's only then that the Word of God opens up for us in bigger ways, more powerful ways, that then we test in the way that we live together. All right, that's the premise. So, the next kind of unique thing about us is that I mentioned that we don't have anything like creeds. Anybody ever heard of a creed before? You guys have heard of this. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth. I believe in Jesus, his only Son, our Lord, right? The Apostles' Creed, that one's referred to. The brethren wouldn't say that we don't believe in those creeds or that we don't trust those creeds. We just say we don't want to have those creeds take the place of actual engaging in Scripture itself. So there's a passage of Scripture in Hebrews that says that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, right? And it penetrates so deep that it can actually divide the soul from the spirit, and it can test the heart of a person. So if something so amazing and dynamic as that, the Word of God, living and active, if it's so dynamic, then the brethren have said we can't just like put it into a box that we built 300 years ago and then leave it there because it's alive. And you don't do that to living things. So again, we come back to this assumption that as we take this journey with the Word of God, we have to actually allow it to be tested in our own lives. Not just leave it hanging out there as concepts or as academic pursuit, as stimulating as that can be, but it has to make it all the way into how we live. So, when the brethren talk about the Word of God, we actually talk about the words of God. We talk about it in this way, the outer word, the inner word, and the living word. Now, if that freaks you out, just hold on, because I think you'll find some comfort in the explanation of these things. We're going to start with the outer word, which is what you expected, what you all reflected when I said, what is the Word of God? You said it's the Bible. So the Scriptures are the written Word of God. It's the outer Word of God. This is the written testimony, the written witness. It's the most reliable source that we have, that we can go back to time and time again and read the same words time and time again to gain knowledge and understanding of the mind and the will of God. So the outer word is the written Scriptures. It's a book of books. So as we kind of tiptoe into 2019, as we begin to put more weeks, more of those hours of the year together, under our feet or behind us, we want to begin to understand more of what it is that we're basing our life and faith on. The Bible is a book of books written by many people over some 1,600 years. Many different people with different experiences and priorities and perspectives, styles, right? Even literary techniques. The Bible is a book of books, and yet it's our most reliable source. And it's super critical to us. Here's a passage of Scripture. I got to forget that I have the clicker today. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 says this. This is Paul writing a letter to a young man that he's discipling, that he's training up to live in the way of Jesus. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The outer word is super important. These written Scriptures are hypercritical to our life and faith. You see it right there, this idea that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that you and I will have everything that we need to live the Jesus way, to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven on purpose, intentionally, for real. This is how important the word of God is. Now, I just want to park this for you. In this particular text, you have known the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is God-breathed. Of course, this is referring to what we would now commonly call the Old Testament, or some of the rest of the Jewish writings around that time, but the idea, the concept holds here. And it holds for this reason: just like the person of Jesus, the outer word is also both divine and human. Let me say that again so that you can park it somewhere important. The outer word, the written Scriptures, just like Jesus, are both divine and human. They were God-breathed. Now, there's all kinds of ideas around what it means that they were God-breathed. We can pull it out of the creation story in two different ways, and I'm just going to offer those up today. This idea, we know that when God breathes into Adam, into humankind, that all of a sudden they become animated, they have life. God breathes the Scriptures. He formed them and animates them. This is why they're living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. We can also kind of think of the creation story, especially in the first chapter of Genesis, when God calls forth things to become merely by speaking a word. Let there be light, let there be. And so whatever understanding you want to hang your hat on, this idea that there is a divine critical component embedded in the outer word, in the written Scriptures, God breathed them. But there's also this human component in the fact that he breathed them into humans that wrote the things down. And as I said before, these humans, many of them, over a long period of time with different priorities and perspectives and ideas and styles, all of those things are also super important for us to access if we're going to understand the outer word well. We have to have a relationship almost with those writers and their time and their culture to really get a grip on the witness that the outer word is, what it is that it's saying to us. It is both divine and human. And that is also why we can't just approach it from an intellectual perspective, because then we'll only get the human components. And that's where the inner word comes in next. The inner word, the brethren have referred to the Holy Spirit as the inner word. Now, the Holy Spirit, really broad topic. So many things that the Holy Spirit does in our world, in our lives, in the kingdom. As it pertains to this conversation today, the Holy Spirit is known to be a guide, a teacher. Another word for the Holy Spirit is a coach. Here's a passage of Scripture in John 14, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So when we encounter the outer word, we also need the inner word to be a part of our understanding. And I think it's also important for me to say at this point that some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit does and says to us isn't always the things that are written down in the outer word. And so it's really important for us also, just like we have a relationship with the outer word, that we have a relationship with the inner word and allow the teacher to teach us. Allow the teacher to bring understanding to us allow the teacher to remind us of everything that Jesus has said. Seems kind of important, right? There's a few places in Scripture where Jesus talks about, and teach them to obey everything that I've taught you, or all of my commands, or if you love me, you'll obey my commands. If you love me, the Father will love you, etc. This is kind of important for us to know what Jesus is saying. And the inner word, the brethren believe, plays a super critical role in bringing to mind the teachings of Jesus, in helping us to understand what we're reading in the outer word, helping us to understand what we're encountering in the world around us, and how God's mind and his will play a role. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. This is another thing that the Spirit does. The Spirit of truth. So we can kind of pull that into our understanding of the inner word. He's the Spirit of truth. So if we're going to be staking our life and our faith and the way that we live on anything, it ought to be the truth. Somebody say amen. A couple people did, finally. The Spirit of truth, he will testify about me. These are the words of Jesus. So one super critical thing that the Holy Spirit does is he testifies about Jesus. We know this word testify, right? Who testifies to things? Witnesses. Somebody who's experienced something or seen something or been with somebody that did something, they're a witness. And when they report on that, they bring testimony. And the Spirit, who knows the Son better than the Father and the Spirit? So the brethren, when we talk about understanding God's word, we talk about it as the outer word, these written scriptures, and all of these very beautiful ways that we can understand and get into not just the divine parts, but the human parts of it, and how important it is to have the Holy Spirit guiding and teaching. And I know the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes we get a little weirded out, and it can be strange. And I just want to share with you personally my experience with this part of what the Holy Spirit does. This idea that he would teach and guide and remind and help me understand what it is I'm reading in the written witness. Sometimes it's like an old friend sliding over at the table and whispering in my ear some revelation that I was missing, or an answer to a question maybe that I didn't even know I had. It's not weird at all. Sometimes it happens when I'm praying. It happens sometimes when I'm eating or when I'm in a conversation with somebody. It happens when I'm walking. Sometimes when I'm in the shower, the Holy Spirit will whisper to me something important. The advocate, the teacher, the reminder, the coach, hypercritical component in understanding the word of God. Again, when the brethren talk about understanding God's word, we're not just talking about this very reliable, super important written witness. We're talking also about this inner word, this inner witness that dwells in each of us, that helps connect us to the mind of God, that helps us understand what it is we're reading or seeing or experiencing. That's a very important part of how the brethren understand God's word. And here we understand Jesus to be the living word. If we could boil it down to a formula, we might say that the written word and the inner word, the written word plus the inner word equals the living word. That what we read in scriptures and what the Holy Spirit illuminates to us, guides us in, teaches us, all testifies to the person of Jesus. So when we encounter the written word, the brethren always say that Jesus is kind of our key to interpreting. Other tribes start in different places. Jesus is always included. But for us, we want to talk about the life of Jesus, not just his birth, not just his death and resurrection, but also his life, where we get to know him. because the written word and the inner word all work to testify to who he is and why he is the way that he is. So if we're going to understand the word of God, the brethren say it all begins and ends with the person of Jesus, which I find really helpful, right? Because when I'm in some passage, Old Testament or New, when I'm encountering God's word and it's weird or it's hard to understand or there seems to be some kind of conflict that I'm having a hard time resolving, I can go, okay, wait a minute. If the way I'm supposed to approach this begins and ends with Jesus, how does this testify to who he is? How does this story work itself out into an understanding of who Jesus is? Or how do I take my understanding of Jesus and use it, overlay it on top of this story and go, okay, what does this mean? How does it connect? How does it all work? If we know Jesus, it helps us understand the written word. If we dig into the written word, it'll help us to know the living word, Jesus. Jesus, the living word. The God who is good all the time and all the time is good is the living word. He's living. He's present. The word of God. The one that says to the one who's messed up, all right, you messed up. It's okay. That's why I came, right? It's what I died for. The one, he says to the one who's in pain and in confusion over something that's happened in his or her life, I get it. I understand. It's why I came. It's why I died. To the rest of us that are just confused with what life is supposed to be like, Jesus says, I get it. That's why I came and lived in front of you and showed you how to navigate this world that's broken with grace. It's why I came. The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The living word, Jesus Christ. So as we encounter God's word together in this next year, we're going to be exploring how these three pieces of our understanding come together. We're going to start that today. I mentioned earlier that one of the things that draws me to the brethren as a faith family is this idea that we best understand the word of God when we attempt to understand it together and to live it out together, live out our understanding together. So we're going to do part of an exercise that I love to do when I'm teaching people how to encounter God's word together. It involves looking at a passage of scripture and then asking typically five questions, but we're going to start with three questions today for the sake of time. And as we encounter this passage together and encounter these questions together, I would love to invite you, even today, after you've heard about this maybe strange and unique way that the brethren understand God's word, to begin to think along those lines as we encounter the passage together. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens together. So we're going to read this text from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And you're already reading it, I know. But I want you to stop reading it for yourself, and I want you to let me read it out loud to you, and I just want you to experience the word of God in your ears right now, okay? You can read it again after I'm done, but I want you to experience the word, the outer word of God in your ears, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Let me read it one more time. And I want you to be listening for these first two questions. What did you hear that you like? And what did you hear that you didn't like? Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Audience participation is required as we do this together. We've just had a double dose of the outer word. Let me pray briefly for the inner word to teach and to remind us about Jesus and how this testifies to who he is. Holy Spirit, as a family, we come to you specifically right now in your role of helping us to understand, your role of teaching and reminding, your job of testifying to the living word, Jesus. Bring us wisdom where we lack it today. And help us to move closer to becoming like-minded in our understanding of your word. It is in the name of the living word that we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as you heard it, as you're rereading it now, what did you hear or what do you see that you like about this small text in Scripture? What do you like? Rest. Why do you like rest? Would you share? There's a possibility of rest. Our daily life, your daily life, my daily life can chew us up, right? It can wear us out. And yeah, we might lay down our heads on our pillows at night, but sometimes we wake up and we're still tired and we're still stuck in the same cycles of exhaustion. So our friend Larry says he likes this idea of the possibility of rest. Who else? What else? What'd you hear or see that you like? Peace. Do you mind sharing? What about it? And if you can't, it's okay. It could just strike you like that. Yeah. Sure. You get caught up in life and you take things for granted, the blessings, but I think also we take for granted the fact that as we go down life's highway, pieces are just inevitably going to fly off, right? Like my first car. It's just going to happen. But in this text, right, as we read it, there's an opportunity for wholeness here, for restoration. What else do you hear or see that you like? Yes. A reminder to keep company with the Lord. Can you say more? Ah. So she really likes that there's a reminder to keep company with God, with Jesus, because a lot of times we just kind of put him in a little compartment and leave him over here as one of the rooms in the house that we visit from time to time, right? So it's a reminder to go back into that space where Jesus is and spend time with him on the regular. Anybody else? Anything you like? Yeah. Yeah. The invitation to get away, to watch and to learn how to do it. How to do it. All right, let's switch gears. Did anybody read anything or hear anything that you didn't like? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, did everybody hear that? This invitation to walk with him and work with him, that sometimes we can rebel against that. Is Larry lying? Does anybody else rebel against this? We just want to pray a prayer or say a thing, and then Jesus does what Jesus does, and voila, right? But this idea of working at it, right? The idea of why we often find ourselves saying God is good all the time and all the time God is good. We have an Ebenezer and a Book of Testimony. That's work. It's a discipline to remind us of some aspect of who. This is how we partner with the Word of God, to be reminded of the life that he's called us to live. This stuff helps us to understand. It becomes a key to interpreting. So yeah, when I read it, I don't like the fact that I got to work at it. Anybody else? Oh boy. Everybody hear him clearly? How many of you love to be confronted about the things that you don't know? Or the things that you don't do properly? I love it myself. It's fantastic. I live my whole life yearning for it, right? No! God, it's like it attacks our understanding of ourselves, right? And if it's a significant enough thing, it might even let a lie creep in, right, where shame and brokenness can now have a field day in us when we're confronted with things that we don't know. So yeah, when we look at this, it says you got to learn it too. I don't already know it. It's not coming easily to me. I got to work for it. Yeah, these are some things that we might not enjoy about this text. Anybody else have anything that comes to mind? You don't like rest. I get it. Got to do something. I love this. You guys are really open today, and it's beautiful because these are some of the core pieces and shards that break off and impale us as we go through life, right? It's hard to work for something that's our whole life. It's so big. It's hard to admit when we don't know or understand something. And when confronted with a problem, many of us, for good reasons and oftentimes not so good reasons, we're compelled to do something, anything, to make it right. Yeah. Is the word coming alive to you a little bit more as we're going through this morning? Last question. What do you learn about Jesus when you hear this or read this? What have you learned about Jesus today? Heather. Oh, that he's patient. Wow. So Jesus is patient. You said something significant there. Try to undo the things you've learned before and learn these things. So So Jesus wants us to relearn some things, and he's patient with us. These are things you've learned from the hearing and the reading today. Who else has learned something? Yeah. So Jesus is not going to put anything on us that isn't for us, that doesn't work, right? That it doesn't take into consideration the image of God that he created us in and the gifts and the experiences and abilities that he's blessed us with, right? That's a thing you've learned. And this is a point of interpretation, right? This is how the outer word and the inner word begin to work to testify to the living word. So you might ask yourself, self, why am I in this situation? Why does it feel like nothing's working? Why does God hate me? What did I do wrong that God would cause this to come upon me? Now, if we're learning these things about Jesus and we just park those things for a second, are those two interpretations of our lives consistent with one another? Or do they have some conflict? Consistent or conflict? Out loud, please. Conflict. How many of you have ever been flipping through Scripture and read something and thought, oh my gosh, this is how God's going to get me? Or this just demonstrates the reason why I'm so bad and I can never come back from the things that I've done. Or any number of other experiences that you've had where your soul was just getting squeezed and you fundamental attribution error is what we call it in logic. I have misassigned the initiation or the cause of the thing that's happening. Do you know how often you and I do that in our lives? We assign things to God that aren't his. And so how incredibly important it is for us to learn this thing, for the word of God to testify to the fact that Jesus is patient. He wants us to relearn things. Are we relearning this? That he wants to teach us these things. I have my whole mind's eye on you and everything about you. How powerful is that? I'm not going to place anything. I'm not going to call you to do, ask you to do something that is completely inconsistent with how I made you. And I know you so deeply because I did make you in my image. Even understanding ourselves requires us to understand the Word of God, the living Word of God. We're made in his image. And everything we can read in Scripture tells us that God is crazy about the idea of us returning, becoming like Jesus again. Everything tells us that it's how he made us in the first place. If we want to know how we were created to be, we look at Jesus and his life. The outer word and the inner word work together to testify to that for us. How many of you thought about something related to Scripture or Jesus or yourself today that you haven't thought about in a while? We're confronted by something that you hadn't seen or heard maybe ever. Didn't see that in that text before. How many of you learned something about Jesus today that's important for where you are right now? This is how the brethren understand God's word. So as we continue in our opportunities to be together on Sunday mornings and our small groups and the things that develop over the year that's ahead of us, we want to hold this in our minds. We want to understand that it's not just reading the words off the page, but it's having a relationship with the Word of God that actually teaches and reminds us and helps us to understand these things in the first place. And hold in tension everything that we think we know and every way that we have interpreted Scripture with the fact that it's supposed to be centered on the person, the will, the behavior, the intentions, and the purpose of Jesus. and see together how that might shape our understanding as a community as we move forward. I gotta tell you something. I'm a huge nerd when it comes to the Word of God. Not that I can tell you where everything is. I've read through the Bible a ton of times, but I couldn't tell you where everything is. I don't have that kind of memory. But what I love is that when we dig into it together, there's always something that I needed that I didn't know I needed. There's always something that I see that I didn't see before. And we're going to explore some of that in the weeks moving forward. Next week, we're going to talk about how we can conform to the Word, because that's a huge part of the Brethren faith family, how we understand God's Word and what to do with it. So that's a little advertisement for next week. Don't miss it. I'd like to invite the band to come back up. And as they come back up, I just want a show of hands for my sake. How many of you have ever heard of this before, this idea of the Word of God being in three parts? You've heard of it before, a few of you. You didn't hear about it before, the first time? Fantastic. All right, so we're learning together. I haven't always been a part of the Brethren Church. I grew up Catholic. Cut my teeth in a Pentecostal church plant in my early teens and started my ministry in the Methodist church. So I've been around a lot of spectrum of understanding. And I'm so excited to introduce and reintroduce to you what I have found to be an amazing faith family called the Brethren Church over the next few weeks. I'm really excited for you to be along for that journey. Can we pray together as these guys get ready again? Lord, I'm struck right now, even if I don't get it or don't understand it all perfectly as I'm standing here, I'm struck right now with a sense of gratitude for the community that you have called me into here. I feel this overwhelming sense of the need to say thank you that you've drawn us together to have this journey with you together. I pray, God, that you have already begun the process of grabbing our attention, of seizing our imaginations, of building some enthusiasm and excitement to know you better, to know you more. So, God, as we continue to explore you, and what you wanted and what you want to say to us. We also say, oh my gosh, God, how good you are, even that you want to communicate with us in the first place. It's amazing. We say thank you.